by First Baptist Church, and I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time this morning by way of telephone with author John Dwyer. And John, first of all, thanks for calling in this morning on our Independence Day. Happy birthday to America, and thanks for calling in, sir.
Happy birthday indeed, and it's a privilege to be able to help celebrate a little bit of it with you and your listeners this morning, Charlie.
And John, I know you are an author, and you seem to have a World War II history interest. If I remember the name of the title correctly, I think it's called Short Grass. Is that correct?
That is correct, Charlie. It's Short Grass is my new historical novel. Some of your listeners may be familiar with me from my recent Oklahoma history book, The Oklahomans. We had an exciting event a few months ago there in Bartlesville at the library about that. But this is a nonfiction, I'm sorry, this is fiction, a historical novel called Short Grass that, as you know, takes place mostly in Oklahoma in the Dust Bowl and World War II era.
Yeah, and certainly between the Dust Bowl times, it was a difficult time economically, but World War II was an exciting time to be alive, I think, as I look back on it. I obviously was not, but it's certainly a struggle for freedom, and I think that is characterized in so many things that we celebrate today.
Well, you're right, and Charlie, those of us that grew up with parents, and then those that might be younger that had grandparents that formed that greatest generation in that era that weathered so much in Oklahoma, as you know, in particular, the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, the Great Migration out because of the tremendous economic despair there was in Oklahoma, and then as if that wasn't enough, then comes history's greatest calamity, World War II. So this generation that Short Grass examines with most of the major characters that were in their late teens and early 20s, like every generation before and after of American youth, were having had their own plans, had their own activities, had that youthful zest and energy. But those plans got short-circuited for that generation for a long time by these great events now that we look back on with somewhat of a mystery and somewhat of an awe. And that's my hope, is that the book Short Grass and then the sequel Mustang that comes out early next year will really bring to light for our generation and the younger generation today what it really was that formed these great events that that we hear about but are kind of getting farther away now in the passage of time.
Absolutely. That's one reason throughout the course of this year that I've got local historian Joe Todd in several times each month to kind of look at the anniversaries of significant battles. We were talking about some of the European battles, and I think Joe's back on next week for another chapter in World War II history. He has interviewed hundreds and thousands of veterans, and his interview views, of course, are all at the Eisenhower Library in Kansas, but he is just bringing so much of a local flavor to these battles because he has talked to the men and women who were involved in so many of these through his course of interviews. Historical novels, you have the freedom to invent characters, fictional characters, but frequently they interact with real events somewhere along the line. So I would think you have, in one sense, freedom to do what you want. On the other hand, you run up against facts sometimes.
Exactly, Charlie. Good point. And you've kind of gotten at the heart of the real challenge of the person that sets about writing a historical novel. That is, again, a book that's historically oriented, but takes dramatic license and is not held to the straight or strict rule of thumb of facts that a nonfiction history book is. But you know, I've taught history and ethics at Southern Nazarene University in Oklahoma City for 12 years. So, being a historian, I take a lot of put a lot of priority into authenticity, even in my historical novels. And of course, as you know, I've written several. Some of those are Civil War based on Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. But this one, more recent 20th century, Dust Bowl, World War II era, you can imagine the need for authenticity and accuracy is even more so there because it's closer to our own time. And yet we're able, by the historical novel device, Charlie, to be able to take some dramatic license, craft, in this case with my new historical novel, Shortgrass, some fictional characters, but also woven in with some fascinating real characters. And again, you've got to be careful to make sure that the real characters are not compromised, but serve the purpose of the story itself, and yet drive it forward and make it fresh. And so some of the people that the readers will get to know in Shortgrass that are real characters would be the great Charles Lindbergh, Wiley Post, the great, probably two, if not the greatest aviators of American history right at the top. Also, there's a real strong college athletics plumb line that runs for this book. So they're going to meet Waddy Young, who was the first consensus All-American football player ever at the University of Oklahoma, and then a legendary World War II bomber pilot in his own right. He's the best friend of Lance Roark, who is the fictional protagonist of Shortgrass. So I guess that's kind of, where my responsibility lies, Charlie, is to weave the fictional and non-fictional characters together in a way that's authentic, but also a fresh read that tells a story that people haven't heard before.
Well, and of course, when you talk about characters such as Lindbergh, such as Wiley Post, who of course was good friends with Frank Phillips, and some of the characters that we talk around this part of the state, those are names that theoretically somebody reading your novel may have met at one time or another.
Well, that's exactly right, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit. As you know, I'll be a little over a week from now, on July 13th at 11 a.m., I'll be speaking about this book and the World War II generation and experience in Oklahoma at the wonderful Bartlesville Area History Museum with Joe Crabtree and those folks. So we'd certainly invite your listeners, if they're free that day, to come out for a little while, beginning at 11 o'clock on July 13th. I know there's been a World War II exhibit out there, and that's part of why they're wanting to kind of couple that thematically with my new World War II novel, Shortgrass. But you're exactly right. You mentioned Phillips and that group. My upcoming, which will be out probably end of next year, Oklahoma History Book Volume 2 has a very in-depth feature on Phillips 66 and a number of the efforts related to the Bartlesville area in it. So, again, not to confuse folks, but I have a double affliction, Charlie. I love historical fiction and historical nonfiction. So the Oklahomans' Oklahoma History volumes are nonfiction, but Shortgrass is a historical fiction about Oklahoma in the Dust Bowl of World War II. And if that's the kind of read that a listener of yours likes, of course, they can just go to Amazon and click on that and get it immediately ordered and sent to them. So it's called Shortgrass.
Well, sir, it sounds like an interesting device. And when I talk to an author, first of all, the writing process to me is somewhat interesting. I write news, so we're talking about nonfiction, and we're talking about nonfiction that I need to be able to tell a story in a minute or less. So compressing everything where you get to expand the story and fill in details and what the character is thinking and everything like that. Writing process on historical fiction, I assume it's like any other writer. You kind of start with a general storyline and some of the characters, but I have to believe that it's an evolving process, that somewhere through chapter 3, you think of something that all of a sudden you hadn't planned on, but it's a good idea and ends up in chapter 6 somewhere along the line.
Well, you're right, Charlie, and I'm sure, as with your work at the radio station, you've got a very important leadership role, but you collaborate with other folks depending on which of the many facets of your work that the effort involves. You're collaborating with other people to bring about success. Well, no different in even in a historical novel, you know, people might think, well, that's just strictly the work of an author, the author's imagination, the author's diligence, and so forth. And of course, there's great responsibility on the author. You know, the author, it's crucial that the author produces a compelling story, idea, storyline, characters that the reader cares about, wants to turn the next page to see what happens to them, and also done with craft and efficiency, so that the writing itself and the way it's laid out helps to contribute to that page-turning process. But there's a lot of other people involved. In my case, you know, there's a literary agent, there's editors, there's the publisher, which, by the way, is a Fayetteville, Bentonville, Arkansas-based publisher, Ogma Creative Media, not too far from Beeville there.
Nope.
So a lot of folks involved in that. But I think you hit at it a moment ago. The key is, at the end of the day, have we come up with something that rings with the weight and power and urgency of history on the big scale, the big level, but at the same time on the human and personal level, has characters like the protagonist Lance Roark, who, by the way, Charlie, is I think part of why this novel got published. He's a unique fella. He's a good old Oklahoma farm boy growing up in the Dust Bowl. He's a Mennonite, so he's a pacifist. But he has a complication in his character in that he's a great natural athlete, and that transitions as the war approaches into being a great natural aviator. And after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, you can imagine that day and time there was just a crushing demand for people with experience in every realm, not least being able to fly an airplane and lead others doing it. So a great crisis of conscience for this young man, who is a pious, pacifist, Mennonite Oklahoma farm boy, when these great world events that he had nothing to do with beset him and bring about great decisions that are going to affect his life and many other lives. So that's where you get into the historical novel part of wanting to have drama that is unique and fresh, but also not something that doesn't seem like it couldn't have happened, or characters that the reader can't relate to. That's our goal in Shortgrass anyway.
Well, and I've heard this before, you tell me if it's true, that any work of fiction has to be as close to what would be the truth as possible, that if you're interacting with real events, that you have to verify those real events are accurate, because there's somebody out there that lived it or has already researched that topic, and you certainly don't want to break that fourth wall of a theater that says, all of a sudden, I can't suspend my disbelief anymore. You messed up somewhere along the line.
Well, that's exactly right, Charlie. In this case, one of what we think is the great selling points or interest areas for Oklahomans, for most of the folks that would be listening to your show and people that I interact with where I live in Norman, is the fact that unusually, even though this is a big, epic American story of the World War II era and the Dust Bowl, it's an Oklahoma-based story. The main characters are Oklahoman. The main events and story locations are Oklahoman. And so what you're going to see is, and again, I guess this is kind of the historian, Charlie and me coming out, you're going to see, in some regards, a mini history of Oklahoma during this era, early 1930s up into well into World War II, and then of course Mustang, which is the sequel, will cover the remainder of the war years early next year. But this really is a way for Oklahomans to get to know their forefathers through the device of a historical novel and what those great challenges were. But being a historian, you know, I'm not just trying to copy the work of others, Charlie. I want this, again, to have authenticity, but also to have originality. So I think that one of the things your readers will find with Shortgrass is a lot of surprises about what the challenges and the snares really were for the World War II generation, not 50 years later, when they were wise and experienced and looking back, but when they were having to make these historic, momentous decisions when they were in their late teens and early 20s, and based in Oklahoma with Oklahoma young people doing that.
Sounds great. We're talking with author John Dwyer. He's also an adjunct instructor of history and ethics at Southern Nazarene University, and we will continue in just a moment on K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, Community Connection, for the next, let's say, 5 minutes or so. Getting the opportunity to talk with author and adjunct instructor of history and ethics at Southern Nazarene University, John Dwyer. And John, the writing process from germ of an idea to words on paper to publishing something that people can buy on Amazon or elsewhere, and I know you're going to be having a book signing here fairly soon, but about how long did that process take?
Well, that's a great question, Charlie, and you're right. I will be back in Bartlesville on the 13th of July. That's a week from this Thursday at 11 a.m. Would certainly invite out all your readers to the Bartlesville Area History Museum. Joe Crabtree and her team are kindly hosting me, and that talk will, and book signing with my new historical novel, Shortgrass, that will be centered around the World War II era and generation, with a particular focus on the how we get at that and how we unpack that, especially on an Oklahoma locale and series of locales in my novel Shortgrass. But there might be some authors, Charlie, that are able to put together works like this in a quick fashion, but I'm not one of them. This was a 7-year process from start to finish, just of the writing portion, and that involves kind of back to your previous question before the break, coming up with the germ of the idea, both the big picture of, well, what do I want this story to be about, and then more on the human and personal level of, well, who's this story going to revolve around? Who are going to be the people that we get to know as the story unfolds, that we learn the story through these people? And so that is a day-to-day process that, in the case of Shortgrass, took place over a 7-year period. And it really is a fascinating process. Each book that I write, both nonfiction and fiction, to some degree has its own evolution, Charlie, as far as where the idea comes from, the planning, the execution. And in this book in particular, I can remember taking a large 11x17, printing out 11x17 Excel spreadsheets, you know, the kind that have the many lines and lines running across the page. And It was such a big story. And again, it's two novels. It's Shortgrass and Mustang. It starts out in Duffsboro, Oklahoma, 1933, runs all the way through the end of World War II by the end of the second novel. So that's a big story, a lot of characters, a lot of historical events. So what I did was I sketched those out for myself where I could visually see those on this big 11x17 Excel spreadsheet paper, where I could start over here, and here's my main character, Lance Roark, the Mennonite farm boy growing up in Duffsboro, Oklahoma. Here's the first love of his life, who is a young Chickasaw lady who is an aviator herself. And readers from Oklahoma that read about Sadie Stanton, that character, they'll recognize that she's inspired by the great Pearl Carter Scott, who was a Marlow, Oklahoma Chickasaw lady that was the greatest female aviator, probably other than Amelia Earhart, of that generation. So you lay out the characters, the initial storyline, and then you jump through and say, okay, well, at a certain point, Lance comes off the farm. He goes and he becomes part of the first great college football team ever at the University of Oklahoma. And again, Charlie, that gets into that mix of fiction and nonfiction, because that was a real team.
Right.
There are some real players on it, but our protagonist, of course, is a fictional character. Then you got to have an ending, so you put that way at the end of the sheet. And how do you get to the ending? How do the characters develop? But that's crucial for a big story like this, is to keep track of your characters and the plot so that it all makes sense and drives the reader forward every page of the way, and you don't lose them as you go.
Well, I think this is a great learning tool, too, just to get people interested in the general topic of history. I think too many of us in our grade school and high school years saw the history as a collection of dates and facts and names, and not really into the real story. The word story is part of history, but I think we miss that most of the time. It's taught, at least when I was in school, that we were memorizing this date, this fact, this name, this series of events, and maybe a quote here or there, but sometimes we missed out on the backstory, so to speak.
Well, that's right, Charlie. I think a lot of us would really look at history as his story.
You know,
if you have a providential worldview that there is, it doesn't mean that we're happy with everything that happens with history, right?
Yeah.
But that there is a, kind of like with our own lives, we're not happy with everything. But there is an overarching purpose, a designer, a sustainer behind that, working for his own purposes. And that's really what this story is, Shortgrass, and then the sequel, Charlie Mustang, which kind of gives a little bit of a tip off to where the story's heading in Volume 2. But that's what this is about, is it's actually an American odyssey of love and war, I think is how the publisher calls it. And it's a great and long story of a young man setting out from home and traveling the redemption road, getting far, far away in many ways from his upbringing and the values that formed him. And then the goal, of course, like those old Greek heroes of Homer and Herodotus and them, at the end of the story, coming back, maybe sadder, hopefully wiser, but at the same time, and you've gotten at this with a couple of your questions here this morning, at the same time, we learn this remarkable and really breathtaking history of our forefathers, the greatest generation of the Dust Bowl, Great Depression, and World War II era in Oklahoma and beyond, through traveling that redemption road with the main character, Lance Roark.
Well, this book, Shortgrass, is available. I know it's available on Amazon. You've got an author's page there, but will you have copies of the books for sale on the 13th here in town?
We absolutely will. And again, Charlie, I'm so appreciative for you to give me this opportunity to talk about not just the book, but this event at your Bartlesville Area Historical Museum on next Thursday, July 13th at 11 a.m. And folks, of course, can call Joe Crabtree and her team there at the museum for more information, or go to the website. But otherwise, just come on out at 11 a.m. that morning, and I will have a PowerPoint presentation, a discussion, an oral presentation that I'll give about the book Shortgrass, but also, again, about this incredible Oklahoma and American history of Dust Bowl and World War II that you'll learn about in the book Shortgrass. And we'll be having a book signing afterwards, but I'll be hanging around as long as people want to talk about it, and just really encourage folks to come out to the Bartlesville Area Historical Museum next Thursday, the 13th, at 11 a.m.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate your time, and thank you for calling in on this Independence Day. John is an adjunct instructor of history and ethics at Southern Nazarene University. His webpage, johnjdwyer.com, or if you Google the word shortgrass, or better yet, go to Amazon and type in shortgrass, you'll find how you can buy the book, and then take your copy down to John Thursday of next week and have him sign it for you. John, thank you so much for your time this morning. Best of luck on book sales, and I hope this is, I know it's not, but I hope this is certainly not your last publication. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. You guys keep up the great work. You have a wonderful station there, and it's got a great reach way beyond Bartlesville, so it's a it's a privilege to be on with you and your listeners this morning as we celebrate our nation's birthday.
Amen. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate your time. We've got more coming up in just a bit. It is just about 2 minutes in front of 9 o'clock at 1400 K1.
Hi, I'm Marty Michaels, and welcome to Heartbeat. Sports have always been a significant part of my life. From playing football and baseball as a child to now watching